Turn with me to John chapter 6 this morning. Hope you had a great day for Thanksgiving, for whichever day you celebrated it. Sometimes people do it on a different day, but it's usually Thursday. And I hope you got enough to eat. And then maybe there were some even left over. You talk about leftovers. We saw a lot of leftovers, a lot of things. And this morning we're going to talk about Thanksgiving leftovers. You may not have known what to do with all that stuff, but you probably won't after the service either. John chapter 6, verse 12. This is the discourse of the feeding of the 5,000. John chapter 6 and verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. As we think about nothing would be lost, it was important what was left over. You know, on Thanksgiving Day, people tend to overeat. They have, and on top of that, there's still things left over. Now, this must be true. I found it on the internet, so it must be true. That we consume 51 million turkeys on Thanksgiving Day. And many, many sites verified it. And again, it was on the internet. It must be true. 4,500 calories is the average intake of a person on Thanksgiving Day. 4,500 calories. Now, you may not know much about calories, but 4,500 calories is more than you need for one day. You might need 1,500. If you're a trained, fine-tuned athlete, you might eat 2,000 calories. And if you're not, maybe all you need, if you're over 55, is about 1,000 or 1,200 calories. But not 4,500 calories. That's a lot. And there's mashed potatoes and gravy, there's cranberry sauce and sweet potato pie and green bean casserole and dressing. And then pie of all sorts, of pecan pie, apple pie, peach cobbler. I mean, you go down the list, all these different types of desserts. You add it all together, and for the whole day, if you eat breakfast and dinner on top of the meal, 4,500 calories. And yet, on top of that, there's all kinds of food left over. And when Jesus fed the 5,000, it was more than enough. I mean, it was it says that everybody ate to their full. They had all they wanted. And then there was still fragments left over. And this was a miracle, just 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish from a little boy. So I assume the loaves, we don't know, but I assume the loaves were not like Italian bread or French bread. They're probably much smaller than that. And it says 2 small fish. Now, we have a few fishermen here, but you know that if it says it's a small fish, it is a small fish. Because people usually exaggerate the size of a fish. So it was probably pretty small. It probably was something you could put in a little bag or something you could carry around with you. And yet, it was all that was needed, because Jesus was involved in it. He provided all that that multitude of people needed. And there was that left over. And you have to think, what did they do with all that was left over? Now, think about how God provides what we need. I mean, there are so many ways that He does that. And it's more than enough. Think of the children in the wilderness. The children of Israel said, "We have no water," and He gave them all the water they needed. "We have no food," and He gave them manna from heaven every day till they entered the promised land. They said, "We have no meat," and He gave them quail, more than enough. So throughout the Old Testament, we see pictures of that in various different places. We read about the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we believe there will be more than sufficient at that marriage supper of the Lamb. Because Jesus is the source to meet our need. It's not just food. It's not just nutrition. But it's the needs of the soul. He has all that we need. He is the bread of life that provides for what we need. And if you go on in the chapter, it's a very long chapter, but in verse 35, he said, I am the bread of life. In verse 48, he said it again. I am the bread of life. And then he goes on to explain that it's not just food, but it is the spiritual need that you have. He said, it's not just bread, but it is what is needed for the soul. Salvation, growth in Christ, and victory, and happiness, and peace. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. There's kind of a long passage, so it would help maybe if you turn to it. Matthew 16 and verse 6. Here he sort of explains something about the feeding of the 5,000. So Matthew 16 verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we've taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because you have no bread. You have bought no bread. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves, the 5,000? And how many baskets you took up? So he's referring back to the feeding of the 5,000. He said, here's a lesson for you. Don't you remember, I met all the needs of every person there, and there was more than enough. Where's your faith? Don't you realize I can meet your need, that you can trust me? And then he goes on to say, neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up, which was another incident of his showing he can meet their need. How is it that you do not understand that I spake not to you concerning bread, that you should beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So he is the source for all of our needs. And he said, you know, there is a teaching of the Sadducees and the Pharisees that they trusted themselves. They were proud. They were built up. They said, beware of that. Just trust me. And isn't that what it comes down to for all of us? We can worry. We can fret. We can think, how am I going to take care of the rent? How are these problems going to be met? Well, God knows that. He cares about our every need. And it's important for us to have faith in him, to believe him and to trust him. So we ought to have faith in God. I mean, the Bible is very, very clear. Have faith in God. The just shall live by faith. 3 times it's found in the Bible. It must be important. Have faith in God. Believe that God is going to take care of your needs. Now, look, this is, you know, it's just right after Thanksgiving. Probably, there's not a single person here who didn't get enough to eat on Thanksgiving. Probably not. Now, there may be people in the world that have very meager things to over the past week to eat. There are people starving to death. But the truth is, no matter where you are in the world, if your faith is in God, if you're out in the wilderness, he can meet that need. And whatever our problems are, he can meet that need. The key is to have faith in God, to keep trusting in him. It's not just to go to the doctor. The doctor could be very helpful, but it's still to have faith in God and trust in him. You know, it's not a matter of figuring out how you can pay for all the bills, and it's a matter of having faith in God, trusting God, depending on him. So we ought to have faith in God, believe God. Also, we have to realize he can not only meet our need, he can meet our need above and beyond. He can pour out a blessing. I remember the funny little story about Charles Spurgeon. His mother had prayed that he might become a parson. And he ended up being one of the great, well-known at least, Baptist preachers in England. And one day his mother said, you know, Charles, I prayed that God would make you to a preacher, but I never expected you to be a Baptist preacher. And he says, isn't that the way God always is? Gives us more than we ask. And so we see often that God gives us more than what we ask, more than what we need. It's an overabundance. So we see in the feeding of the 5,000, it wasn't just that he met their need. It was an overabundance of what they needed. I remember when we came to Connecticut, I had saved my life savings about $1,800. And that was our life savings. And I had a 1972 Ford Torino. It had rubber matched. It was fairly new, but it had no car payment. And that was it. I mean, that's what we had. And we moved into an apartment in Plantsville, South Main Street. And I just said, this is what God wants us to do. But in reality, if I looked around, I thought, man, oh, man, we could never own a home. Well, you know, we'll just be faithful and do what God tells us to do. You know, we're never going to be able to have any retirement. You think about some of those things, and I just said, you know, it doesn't matter. We're just going to do the will of God. You know, I look back, and I just can't believe how God has met our needs. We live in an apartment, and there are people who live up there now. We have four children and about 800 square feet. And you sit down at the table, and you couldn't get everybody at the table, so you had to pull the table out, everybody get up, and then sit down and push the table back. Get everybody sitting, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. You pull the table out, and everybody gets up, and you move around. And that was all right. That was we were happy there. You know, I remember we didn't have water we could drink because our well was contaminated. There was no water in the street. Now you'd think, surely they had city water here. No, they didn't have city water. It was just a well. And the company that was here before us will not mention who it was, but they were pouring all their chemicals right into the ground. Carbon tetrachloride, trichloroethylene, all this good stuff. Not good for the well. But the blessing was our oil tank started leaking. And all those chemicals you couldn't taste or smell, but the oil you could. And it leaked into our well, and we said, something's wrong with this. This doesn't taste right. We had it tested, and we realized, oh, my goodness, this is not good. We can't use the water. So we just had to carry the water in. You know, that's all right. We'll get water, and we'll bring it in. We could bathe and wash in it, but we couldn't drink it. But God spoke to the heart of the people in the town somehow, some way. Within a year, they're bringing water down the street. When that happened, they said, no, we have no plans. They're not. Who knows when they'll ever have city water? You know, God can meet our need above and beyond what we can ask or think. We started the Christian school, and this was 10 years after we started the church. And we said, you know, we've got to have room. We've got staff and people are going to move in here. Then we need to buy a home so they can move in here. And God provided us a home. We were able to move in. It didn't seem possible. And yet God provided something very close where we could, all our kids could walk to school. They could, you know, it was a blessing. It was more than what we could ask for. In every case, you just look at your life. I mean, examine how God has met your need. And it's above and beyond. Spiritually speaking, to think how God can help you and give you peace in your heart, give you victory in your life. He has overabundance of mercy. Isaiah 55:7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will, I like this word, abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. So no matter your background or your past or where you've been or what you've done, he will abundantly pardon. God has abundant mercy. And you know, he can give us more than we can give him. We think, I'm going to give my best to the Lord. I'm going to serve. I'm going to give money to the Lord. I'll give him the offering. You just can't outgive God in any way possible. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you. good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. And that's the way God is. It is more blessed to give than receive, but God always gives more than we give to Him. He provides for our needs. Ephesians 3:20 is a great passage. It says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." He gives exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think. So we can pray and ask God to do something, and God can give us greater than what we could even pray for. And we see that illustrated throughout Scripture. And God rewards people in an abundant way. Think about this. In Malachi, people had been unfaithful to the Lord. And He said to them, He reprimanded them, and then He said, Malachi 3:10, "Bring ye all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." See, that's the way it works. You give your best to God, you repent, you turn to Him, start keeping the Sabbath, start obeying the laws, keep the feast. And if you'll obey me, I'm going to pour you out a blessing that you'll not be able to receive it. You know, that's just an amazing truth in the Word of God. An overabundance of what we could ask or think. And I like this thought. We've not been to heaven yet. But I have a feeling it's going to be more and better than what we could ask or think. It's going to be a lot better than here on this earth. Some people say it's hell here on earth. No, it's not. It's a blessing to be alive. God has blessed us here on this earth, but I don't believe it's anything compared to what heaven will be like. First of all, there's not going to be any dying. There'll be no tears and crying. You know, we're not going to be walking around, bad backs and hobbling around. You know, we'll be able to throw these things away, praise God. You know, there's going to be something about heaven that I think will surprise all of us. I'm not sure what it is. When we get up there, we're going to say, "Wow. I can't believe what I see. This is an amazing place. Better than words could ever describe." Because that's the way God is. It's always over and above what we can ask or think. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God prepared for them that love Him." It's not even entered into the heart of man. It's not even something we've thought about. That's what God will provide for us in heaven. But now I want to think about the leftovers. So He provided for them over and above what they could ask or think. But what about the leftovers? What happened to them? So they got 12 baskets. We don't know how big they are, but they're baskets of bread and fish. But He said nothing would be wasted. So I don't believe that those leftovers were wasted. Now, sometimes from Thanksgiving, you just can't eat all the leftovers. You know, and some things taste good left over and some things don't. I'm sure you're aware of that. But you don't want to waste anything, so you put it in the refrigerator until it gets mold on it, and then you throw it away. You know, it soothes your conscience, you know, just to think, I'm not wasting it. But it's wasted. It's just more than you can handle. But He said, I don't want any of this to be wasted. This is going to be used. Now, we don't know how it was used, but I have some thoughts about it. There's a little lad. He gave his all. He gave his whole lunch. I can't say this beyond all doubt, but I'm pretty sure he got at least his lunch back and a little more. I feel pretty certain about that. Now, I can't prove it, and nobody can prove it or disprove it. But I have a feeling that he did get all that back and more, because that's the way God is. That's the way Jesus works. But He gave it to, I believe, to His disciples, because they still needed something, and they were serving. They're the ones that handed it out. Or He might have said, here's some that are really needy. You know, we have a meal or a banquet at church. Sometimes we say, oh, we've got all this left over. Who could use this? Who would this be a blessing to? And they'll send it along with them. So there might have been some there that they had a lot of special needs, and you know, they were perhaps very poor or going through some hardship. They might have sent some out of home with them. But I kind of have a feeling that it may have been given back to the disciples as a responsibility, because there's always more that need help. I believe that God has given us that responsibility too. When you're blessed above and beyond what you ask or think, what do you do with that excess? There's a way to get out the truth, the Word of God, to others. There's a way to be a blessing to others. It's a blessing when somebody does something for you or for me. I mean, that really is a great blessing. And it's even a greater blessing when you can do something for someone else. It really is. And I believe that there's a good chance that those disciples were, they said, Jesus, what are we going to do with all this left over? And he said, there's more hungry people out there. I want you to take this and distribute it to the rest of the people. When we have an overabundance, we have a responsibility to help others that don't have what we have. And I say that to say, we have the gospel. We have the truth of the Word of God. And to hold that and keep that to ourselves and not do anything with it would be a shame when other people need to hear the truth. So I don't believe anything was wasted. I believe that there was some way that they used those things. And there are people that are hungry, that are looking. You know, it's like the beggar that sat at the table or just waited for the crumbs to fall off the table of the rich man and was willing to eat those. There are people who are hungry. There are people. And it's not everybody you talk to is going to say, oh, I'd love to talk about Christianity. But there are people out there who are looking for something. They're needy. And we have to find those and give them the truth. And then God wants to meet all of our needs. Psalm 36 and verse 8 says, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. He has the true bread of life. He wants to meet our needs and the needs of those around us. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. So the true bread is the words of eternal life. It is the sacrifice he made at Calvary. Salvation is the greatest need of everyone that we will meet, of everyone around us. Turn with me to John 6 again, if you move from there. And go to the end of the chapter, chapter 6 of John, verse 47. John 6, 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He will meet the need of salvation. He is the living bread. It's not just bread. It's not just the daily need that a man might have to keep alive on this earth. But it is eternal life. It is the bread of heaven that meets that special need. There was a pastor that was teaching a class of young children. And when he taught the class, he would bring in a jar full of beans. And it asked the students, tell me, write down your estimate, how many beans are in this jar. And so they would take out their pad of paper and they'd write down their estimates, and then he would say, now I want you to give me your favorite song and list all, everybody tell me what your favorite song might be. And then he said to the students, You know, how many beans are, what's the actual number? And then they look over their guesses and they figure out who was the closest to that exact amount. And then he said, here are the songs. Who's the closest one to being right? The student said, what are you talking about? There's nothing right or wrong about the songs. It's not an exact equation. There's a certain number of beans, but you can't say that about the songs. And then he would ask them, when it came to your religion, which would you choose? Like the beans that have an exact number, or would it just be a preference about the song? And there were many responded, well, you just choose based on how you feel. It's your preference about salvation or religion. And I thought, you know, that illustration tells me how much of the Christian world thinks. To them, they could be any religion. It's just their preference to be whatever denomination they are. It's not an exact number. But with God, that's not the way salvation works. It's exact. There's one way to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. It's not a preference where it's what you like or don't like. If you don't like it, it doesn't matter. It's still one way to heaven. It's through Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life that meets the need, and there is no other one place or thing that can meet our need. That longing and searching in the heart is something that God has instilled in every person. But we have to hear the truth, accept the truth, and believe the truth. But He can more than meet our need. And not only will He save that person, but He will gift that person, enable them to have victory in their life, change them to be more like Himself. Sometimes we might think, there are certain people that are basically leftovers. We might think that of ourselves. I was just a leftover. He can take the leftovers and make something good out of it. He can take people that are abandoned by society and make them a trophy of His grace. It's important for us this morning to realize that God can meet our need through salvation, growth in Him. Our faithfulness to Him will be rewarded overabundant what we can ask or think. Let's bow for prayer this morning.